Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres continue their road trip to the desert with their second of three against the Diamondbacks. And our host, Jesse Agler, was hoping Blooper would bring in a certain co-host for him today.
What's the latest update on booking Taylor Swift for Padres Social Hour?
I haven't tweeted at her in a while. I really need to get on that.
You're slacking.
I am.
Did you follow her at least?
Yes.
Okay.
But instead, Blooper booked Randy Jones.
Blooper, good job, too. I'm excited.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. It is a Saturday, and it is game two of a three-game series between the Padres and the Diamondbacks. It's coming up from Chase Field in beautiful, scenic Phoenix, Arizona, where it's like 120 degrees. Here in downtown San Diego, the AMR studio, it is absolutely gorgeous, of course, because it's San Diego at 5:30 at night in the summer.
Taylor Swift in your dreams.
Real. Blooper's dreams.
Is that yours, Bloop?
He guaranteed, after he dropped the ball on Mick Jagger when the Rolling Stones were here, guaranteed that he would be able to get Taylor Swift on the show before her concert in August at Petco Park.
Blooper?
I tweeted at her again. So
he's working on it.
So that's how you're going to do it.
I believe
I think you got to go a little deeper than that.
That's really all he's got. That's his entire arsenal. He has nothing in his hip pocket but tweets. But he wrote her a poem the other day on Twitter. So he's trying to get creative with it. And you know the ladies love poetry.
Yeah, and you wrote that poem?
Yes.
I saw that.
Yeah, maybe. He may have written it.
Okay.
He may have gotten some help. But either way, he tweeted a poem at her. Let's stop talking about Taylor Swift.
Can we
please, as everyone knew we would discuss at the start of the show, can we please talk about Jose Tabata? the pirate outfielder, the pinch hitter, the man that was nearly the 27th out in Max Scherzer's perfect game. So everybody has heard about this, and we'll get to the Padres and the Diamondbacks. Last night stunk. We'll leave it there.
Okay.
We'll get back to it.
All right,
But we'll leave it there for now. This is obviously the story in baseball today, and it will be for a couple of days.
Amazing.
Max Scherzer is one out away from a perfect game, and he's got
one pitch away.
One pitch. You're right. He's got Jose Tabata, 0-2, pinch hitter, outfielder for the Pirates, who fights back to get to 2-2. And on the 2-2 pitch, Max Scherzer hits him. Now, you say, okay, well, that's the end of the perfect game. And he would get the no-hitter. He got Josh Harrison to fly out the very next man up. But this is like going to be the most talked about hit by pitch of all time. So a lot of people are angry, particularly Nationals fans, saying, hey, Tabata leaned into it. You know, this is a donkey poo move. He is the same as bunting, all that kind of stuff. That would be two things here. Let me set it up. One, we'll have a conversation about whether or not you think he did enough to get out of the way, because that's one conversation. But a lot of the pitchers I've been hearing from today, and RJ, you're a pitcher.
That's right.
They've been saying, hey, he missed this pitch. And Max Scherzer himself, after the game, he said, hey, I didn't finish that pitch. It was supposed to be a slider down and away.
Down and away, and he backed up and hit him.
So do you think, or do you get what Scherzer's saying there?
Sure. No, yeah. I understand. And I also understand what the hitter did. I mean, hey, he didn't do what you want him to do, fall on his back. Come on. You know, that's just part of the game, and it's in a reaction. You got a split second.
All right, so you're...
Oh, wait a minute. He's got a perfect game. I should get out of the way. So, are you serious?
Yeah,
that's
all right.
Better pitch.
So,
sorry.
You're putting it on the pitcher.
Yep.
You want a perfect game, which, by the way, good for you. You can do that as a Cy Young Award winner.
Well...
Most of us can't do
it's
that.
It's just like what Max said, though.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to throw a better pitch. You know, but number one, his stats, his last two starts, that is incredible.
No, it's unbelievable.
That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
In his last two starts. So, last start, well, today... Okay, a no-hitter.
Right, no-hitter.
A hit-by-pitch and 10 strikeouts.
Yes.
His last start was a one-hitter, which he struck out 16 and walked one.
That's right.
I mean, that's insane.
It's incredible.
How about before his last start, he had thrown one complete game
in his career.
In his career, and then he goes back-to-back complete games.
And this week he's got two.
And they're pretty special ones.
You no kidding.
Talk about being worth the money that the Nationals spent in the offseason.
That is incredible.
All right, so you're saying Scherzer missed his pitch. And, hey, that's life.
Hey, that's it. Really.
All right. Let's suspend your belief in that for a moment and talk about – because nobody wants to hear that. And you might be very – you might be absolutely right,
I know.
By the way.
I know. But
you probably are.
But nobody on Twitter, I know.
They want blood.
They want blood.
They want blood. So I'm going to put you on the Cholula hot seat.
Fine.
So I'm going to put you on the Cholula hot seat. And let's say, for the sake of conversation, And for the sake of delaying talking about last night's loss to the Diamondbacks, for the sake of conversation, let's say Tabata sort of leaned in a little bit, or with his giant elbow guard on his left elbow, you know, bent over a little bit.
Kind of lean down.
Lean down to break up the perfect game. Are you A, okay with Tabata doing that? Hey, get on base. It's your job to get on base. Are you B, upset at Tabata for breaking some unwritten rule, you know? Or C, are you going to put it on the umpire, Mike Malinsky, for not enforcing the
enforcing
rule?
Enforcing what?
The rule about, you know, getting out of the way.
No. Hey, you understand, when you can't drop your elbow and lean into a backup slider. All right? I mean, in the old school guys, do you remember? You look at Flannery. I saw Flannery lean into pitches and get hit to get on base.
Right.
You know, and did a great job of it, by the way. You know, but, you know, this one here, purely, the umpire should have no say in it whatsoever. He can just stay back there. You know, he's not going to make any judgment call on this. Number two, he's supposed to try to get on base, right?
Yeah.
So I mean,
that's his job.
I know the Washington fans want him to bail out of the way, get completely out of the way, so he can punch out, and so Scherzer can have a perfect game.
Right.
That's not the reality of, you know, of baseball. That's not the way it works in a split second like that.
That's kind of my thought on the thing is,
and
that
does he look really unhappy?
No, he to his credit, he took responsibility for hitting the guy.
I'm just happy for the guy. What a great job. A week in baseball to do something like that, punch out 26.
In two starts.
Jesse, I didn't punch out 26 by the All-Star break. I mean,
you're a different style pitcher.
He did 7 days.
Than Max Scherzer.
Incredible.
No, I mean, it's an incredible two starts for Max Scherzer.
Man.
And I've said this before, and it's probably a product in part at least of my age and sort of the way I think about these things, although you and I are in agreement and we're different ages. But I don't have a problem with the guy trying to get on base. I don't – like, his job is to get on – his job is not to cooperate with history. His job
That's
is
right.
to get on base. Now, if you think and you don't, but if somebody out there thinks, well, what he did was against the rules, then I say to you, Mike Malinsky, the home plate umpire, needs to make that call.
Yeah.
You don't put it on the player.
What rules?
You don't. Well, the rule about trying to get out of the way, and if you're saying he, you know, he leaned into it, then it's ball three.
He didn't lean into it.
All right, but if some people are saying he did,
no.
I don't blame him, is what I'm saying. I don't blame the guy for leaning into it if he leaned into it.
Well, you watch the replay again. I mean, all right, the left elbow drops a little bit
yes.
when he hits him. You know, but he all of a sudden, your first reaction, you got a split second right here to try to do something. Where are you going to put your elbow? You know?
No, I know.
I mean, there's nothing he can do.
I've never faced a major league slider.
He just hit him. I mean, that's all there is to it. And, you know, hey, he got a no-hitter.
Yeah.
He's in the record books.
He absolutely is. And it was a phenomenal day, and it shouldn't take anything away, obviously, from the accomplishment for today.
Well, since I'm on the hot seat.
Yes.
One of our pitchers go nine.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody out there want to see that?
That'd be nice.
Eight.
I'll take eight. Eight. I'll take eight.
Eight right
plus.
Now. And we'll work our way up tonight.
Yeah.
Come on.
Kind of do steps.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, don't be upset at Tabata.
No. Nope.
If you think he did something illicit or even against the rules, direct your anger towards the home plate umpire for not calling it. And I've seen a couple of people, it was one of my first thoughts, but I've seen other people express it online in the last, you know, 90 or 100 minutes since this happened or whatever, is that it's, you know, the analogy to pitch framing. Like, it's sort of like that, right? Like, nobody gets mad at the catcher when he pulls one back in and the umpire gives him the call.
Well, yeah,
like, was Wilson Ramos the catcher for the Nationals? Was he not supposed to frame pitches in the top of the ninth inning? You know, the same way Tabata's not supposed to try and get on base? Of course. You do these things. You bend the rules. You live in those gray areas.
If Max Scherzer executes that slider like he was supposed to.
We're not talking
about
it.
It's a moot point. Tabata is nowhere near that slider.
Yeah.
You know, and he's done this. He has a perfect game.
So, two things that I'm going to take away from this conversation. One is, you, along with the people who I've read that actually know about pitching in the big leagues, have all said, hey, put it on Scherzer. And Scherzer himself said that.
Yeah.
Didn't execute his pitch. The hot take community, a lot of them, are very upset at Tabata. My response to them would be, if you want to be upset at somebody, and I'm not saying you should, but if you want to be, then put it on the umpire, because Tabata's doing what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to get on base. His job as a batter is to reach base, some way or another.
And that's what he did.
And that's exactly
what
he did.
If the umpire would have ruled on that, then the other half, would have buried him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it would have been crazy.
What an idiot.
It would have been crazy.
Right.
Now, all that being said, it is insane that the guy loses a perfect game with two strikes and two outs in the ninth inning on a hit batter.
I cannot believe
That's
it.
That's insane.
I couldn't believe that.
It's happened once before.
Oh, my.
Once before. All right, here you go. Get in the Wayback Machine and go back to the New York Giants in 1908. You remember old Hooks Wiltsey?
Hooks.
Yeah. They called him Hooks because he had an arm like a hook. He was pitching for the Giants in 1908, and on July 4th of 1908, he lost a perfect game in the ninth by hitting the opposing pitcher in a scoreless game.
That's hilarious.
That's worse than today.
Oh, yeah, hit the opposing pitcher.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
In a scoreless game. So the crazy thing is, it wouldn't have even, if he had gotten that guy, it wouldn't have ended the game. They would have had to go to the 10th. Or maybe the bottom of the
9th. He might have been the only one with maybe an 11-inning perfect game.
Exactly. Well, yeah, he would have gone another 5 innings. They wouldn't have cared about that. That's not a thing that they're concerned about.
That's old school.
All right, man. It's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. But I like your take as someone who's actually thrown a slider from a major league mound before.
You know, it's,
is that he didn't execute his pitch.
And it's amazing. One more pitch, and he has a perfect game, and he can't execute it. But that's the adrenaline. That's the excitement. I get it, man.
It's one of the most difficult things to do in sports.
I mean, hey, I got to the top of the eighth with a perfect game. Are you kidding me? And I remember how nervous I was.
Yeah.
That wasn't even the ninth. Lord. I mean, I don't even know what happened then.
Tim Haggerty, who's the broadcaster for the Padres AAA affiliate, the El Paso Chihuahuas, he tweeted a little while ago, when Max Scherzer was in the minors, he interviewed him once, and he was talking about having watched a no-hitter, and Tim recollected how nervous Scherzer said he was watching a no-hitter. So you can only imagine, a few years later. Yeah, what it must be like.
Oh, it's
he's got him 0-2. He's got him 0-2.
And your adrenaline's flying, and you're trying to be patient, make a quality pitch. And that was a backup slider. You know,
missed his pitch. Didn't execute his pitch.
And he shook off whatever the catcher put down, and that's what he wanted because you saw him shake it off and then nod yes.
He shook him off a couple of times in the ninth inning.
That was interesting.
But anyway, get ready for all the hot takes. People are going to want the Nationals to throw at Tabata. People are going to be calling for blood. They're going to say, hey, remember this when these two teams meet again.
They're going to have to wait until Tabata pinch hits again to
hit
him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
He's probably not in the lineup tomorrow, though,
no,
right?
I don't think so.
I mean, when all is said and done, he's probably not in the lineup tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, do him a favor. Don't put him in the lineup
tomorrow. Don't put anybody in that situation.
Oh, Lord.
All right, so nice job on the Cholula hot seat. I hope you've cooled off what everybody has said.
Well,
no,
yeah,
you're nice and cool.
Yeah,
you're
calm down, people. He's celebrating tonight. Matt Scherzer's had a great week.
Yes.
That's a phenomenal week of pitching.
Tonight or today against the Pittsburgh Pirates, Max Scherzer, a no-hitter with one hit batter and 10 strikeouts. His last start, Milwaukee the other day, a one-hitter with one walk and 16 strikeouts.
That's incredible.
Maybe the two best starts he'll have in his entire career, and they go back-to-back in June.
I'll wait for 5 more days. You never know, man.
I mean, it's going to be crazy. Now we get to dust off the Johnny Vandermeer talk.
Yeah, he's on a roll.
I mean, this would be more impressive. This is maybe more impressive than Johnny Vandermeer.
We saw Max here. We know the electric stuff and how he works.
Yeah.
Pounds that strike zone down.
I blocked it out.
Huh?
I blocked it out. I've already forgotten. I've already forgotten.
I don't know, you'll forget about that.
All right, that was Randy Jones on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. All right, that's a fun start to the show. That's the Max Scherzer talk. I'm sure people will be jumping on board. You can do so on Twitter via the hashtag PadresSH. That's the way you get to us on Twitter, hashtag PadresSH. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour to chat with other fans. Randy is here. When we come back, we'll turn our attention back to the Padres and that game they played last night.
Okay.
James Shields was out on the hill against Ruby De La Rosa, who I never need to see again. I'm good.
I hope I don't.
Way to go, Ruby. Nice job. You're a good major league pitcher, and move on with your life, please.
Yeah,
stop pitching against the Padres.
I'm tired of seeing him.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about all of that when we come back. Meanwhile, do you know an all-star mom? How about that? Arm & Hammer and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one all-star mom and send her and her family to the 2015 All-Star Game in Cincinnati. So go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mommy so special. allstarmom.com. Opportunity to go to the All-Star Game.
Beautiful.
Lie if you have to.
Exciting.
I mean, it's an opportunity to go to the All-Star game.
Man. Make it a good story.
That's it. Father's Day tomorrow, by the way.
Yes. Happy Father's Day.
Happy early Father's Day, Randy.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about last night's loss to the Diamondbacks, plus all your hot takes on Max Scherzer and Jose Tabata. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. With Randy Jones, I'm Jesse Agler, having some fun talking about Max Scherzer's no-hitter, which was oh so close to being a perfect game, but it wasn't. It's not easy to throw a perfect game. You got to execute. You got to get lucky.
Ah. Good call.
There's always like at least the one play, right? That's the cliche. There's always the one play, the crazy play, or the not so crazy play, but that one. Ooh. Like, it's going to happen, you know, moment in the game. And that might have been in the eighth inning. And it was Pat Murphy's son-in-law at the plate for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Pedro Alvarez, in the eighth and at second base in the shift.
Oh, my.
They just got him.
Great play.
They just got him. That was the third out in the eighth inning. So the 24th out of what was a perfect game for Max Scherzer.
I'd like to really know what beer seals were like at that game. I bet beer seals were really good.
It was a sellout.
Fans were just fired up.
Yeah.
Got to be fired up for a perfect game.
It's interesting you say that, but I wouldn't get out of my seat. Like, I wouldn't want to go get in line to go get a beer or a hot dog or popcorn or anything. I would just want to be there, and I wouldn't want to miss a thing.
Oh, yeah, designate one guy.
You're in charge.
Bring
of
all the beers back.
Whoever gets the short straw, little rock, paper, scissors, something like that.
I like that.
That's a good idea. Anyway, wild, wild stuff.
That's crazy.
Have you ever been in the building for a perfect game?
No.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's
no hitters. Yeah, but
yeah.
That's great. But you know, you just we were always the victim.
Yeah.
You know
no,
that.
I know.
You know
that's why I didn't ask about that.
Yeah. So we're just walking out of the dugout. I didn't hang around and watch. Nothing to really watch.
No. But the perfect game. I mean, it's one of those legitimately historical things. And we got a little bit spoiled, I feel like, the last couple of years because there was an uptick. You know, and with all the strikeouts and everything, you know, it's probably likely to happen. But man, oh man, oh man.
That's
real close.
Stuff.
Real close.
It really is.
Two out, two strikes.
And
he hits a guy.
There's something left that Max Scherzer hasn't done yet. He doesn't have a perfect game.
Yeah.
Got a no-hitter. But now he's still got to chase that perfect game.
Like you said, give it 5 days. So let's talk about last night. Diamondbacks 4, Padres 2. Ruby De La Rosa, 7+, one earned run, 5 hits. What is it about this guy and the Padres? I mean, look, the stuff is obviously, it's really good.
Yeah, but I mean, you think about it, you look at his history. And he went through a streak like 4 games, Jesse, where he couldn't get anybody out. He's going 5 innings. He gave up 20 runs in 15 innings, you know, in starts. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the start before this, he went 8 innings and gave up like 2 hits and shut, you know, somebody out. It was the Angels, I think it was. He shut them out, you know, and he comes right back against us and makes another phenomenal start. I mean, 97, 98 miles an hour on the fastball. Good, solid changeups, breaking balls down in the zone or off the plate. I mean, he was painting. I was amazed. You just never know which Ruby's going to show up every fifth day. And it just seems like the 3 times we've seen him, you know, the good Ruby showed up.
The very good Ruby.
Yes.
I mean, he's zipping it in at 97, 98 late
that
in the game.
That was incredible.
With control.
Yes, quality strikes at that, not just throwing over the plate.
Yeah.
I mean, outer third, inner third. I went, oh, my.
Yeah, it was really impressive.
It was.
So he kind of had the Padres tied up in knots all night. And it was one of those games where 4-0 felt like 10-0. Is that just me, or is that kind of other?
No,
like 4-1 felt like 10-1. Like it almost didn't matter.
When he was cruising through there. And believe we had our opportunities in the game, Chess. You know
I know what you're going to say.
Well, runners in scoring position.
0-6.
0-6. And I've seen a lot of that here the last week in this losing streak that we're, you know, the Padres have. You know, not getting the clean. You don't need to get 12 hits. You know, but give me 3 hits with runners in scoring position. That's a tied ball game. It's a different ball game.
Completely different ball game. But is that the pitcher when you're having games like that? Is that a reflection of the way the Padre lineup is going? Is it De La Rosa? Is it a combo?
It's a combo, but it's a reflection of how the Padre lineup's going, in my opinion. You know,
it's really easy to pick on James Shields after last night. I've seen a lot on Shields because he wasn't particularly sharp. But the guy gave up 4 runs in 6 innings. Like,
and he didn't have his good stuff.
Right,
without
his good stuff.
And pitch count got up in a hurry. You know, and this is nothing new that we haven't seen before, though. You know, and his pitch count getting up like that. And as one of the key reasons why you haven't seen any of our starters go deep in a game, go 8 or 9.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many pitches Matt Scherzer, you know, threw today.
He hit 100 in the ninth.
In the ninth.
I think he got to 103, 104.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah.
And we got our pitchers hitting 100 in the sixth.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to be more efficient.
Just throw more near perfect games.
Yeah, yeah. But you can't be throwing 34 pitches in the first inning.
Right.
You know, the next thing you know, you're at 60 by the time you get to the fourth.
That's a really good point, and this is more anecdotal than statistical, but I think it's right, is that I've seen a lot of times this year with some of those high pitch count games for the Padres, a lot in the first and second inning. And so taking a lot of time to maybe settle in, what's that about when you see that? Like if you're a pitching coach or just a guy that knows pitching and you're watching and it's taking a guy 35, 40 pitches to get through an inning or two?
It's lack of command. It's just totally a lack of command of your pitches. I'd love to see Tyson Ross tonight go out there in the first inning in Arizona and just throw fastballs and changeups. Forget about the slider. I don't even want him to use it the first time through the lineup. But the problem is that two-seamer that he'll lead everybody off with, you got to throw a quality strike, not ball one, ball two.
Right.
That's the key. You know, but stay with it. And I think he'd be a lot more efficient, you know, pitch to contact a little bit more. But you got to hit good spots to do that. You know, but I just think, admittedly, you have to be prepared to do it and put it in your game plan. I'm not sure these guys have it in their game plan. They're just trying to get outs instead of, you know, setting up a game plan where you're going to pitch to contact early in the game, second time around through the lineup, you know, even the third time through the lineup. You know, have a game plan. But you got to expect yourself to get to that third time through the lineup.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
I'm always impressed, and this sounds like, you know, trying to make something that wasn't great sound better than it was, but I'm always impressed when a pitcher clearly doesn't have his best stuff and he's able to sort of battle through.
Yep.
Because there were times last night with Shields, it was like, oh, man, he's really working out there, and it's not easy for him.
We've seen it a few times.
Yeah.
But remember, we're talking about a guy that, you know, really, like I said, has the best command outside the strike zone, and that's how he pitches, you know, hitting good spots. But, you know, the key what he has is he can make a quality strike, quality pitch, and throw a strike in a good spot. And that's what really sets up his entire repertoire.
Yeah.
Because he has that ability. Last night he couldn't. He left some over the middle of the plate. He got hurt.
Yeah. All right, so that was the story for James Shields last night. He hung in, didn't get the run support that he's gotten so many times this season, and the Padres dropped the opening game of the series against the Diamondbacks tonight. It'll be Tyson Ross against the young left-hander Robbie Ray, who pitched for the Tigers a little bit last year and has pitched for the Diamondbacks a little bit this year, but has been very impressive
so far.
Very
impressive, 2-1 with like a 1.08 ERA. Small sample size, but last time out, once again, you know, solid eight innings, like one hit, you know, no runs, you know, pretty impressive. Fly ball type pitcher.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a three-pitch pitcher, but he's going to use that four-seamer. Fly ball pitchers aren't throwing sinker balls, Jesse.
Yeah.
They're throwing four-seamers, and they're getting fly balls.
Well, hopefully he leaves a couple up because the ball.
Got it.
It flies right out of that place.
And, you know, somebody turn on one early.
There we go. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about tonight's game. We'll throw you tonight's starting lineup for the Padres. It's another one that's a little bit different. Pat Murphy starting to experiment a little bit here, switch some things up, and I say why not? You know, under 500, might as well stir it up a little bit and see if you can change some things with the batting order. We'll do that, and you and Blooper will choose against one another in the old Supercuts head-to-head challenge.
All right.
We've got that coming up, plus your questions, comments, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, next Saturday, a week from tonight, it's baseball night in San Diego, and it's a giveaway featuring the Padres beach towel presented by National University. Get your tickets to see the Padres and these Diamondbacks at 7:10. Go to padres.com/BNISD. BNISD, baseball night in San Diego. It's a good-looking beach towel.
It is. I got a bad visual, though. I can see Blooper laying on that at the beach.
Oh, my goodness. Why would you do that? I was going to say you lay it down on the beach, and now you got a game of beach baseball.
That'll definitely cover home plate. I know that. Won't you, Bloop? What are you shaking your head for?
He's not even going to answer you. He's just going to leave you hanging like that. So we'll take a break, come back, take a look at tonight's starting lineup, and talk about how the Padres are going to attack the young left-hander, Robbie Ray. Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio continues right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. We're at Petco Park, the AMR studio to be specific. Getting you ready for a 7:10 first pitch tonight between the Padres and the Diamondbacks. Tyson Ross and the left-hander. Not a sinker baller.
Yeah, unusual start time, 7:10.
On a Saturday night.
Yeah, on a Saturday.
Well, it's like 144 degrees in Phoenix, so I guess they're giving
the
people time to
get
there.
Come on.
I know. Well, I'm sure it's freezing in
the
ballpark.
It's 115 outside.
It's disgusting. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it's not even summer yet.
It's
tomorrow. Tomorrow's the first day of summer, and it's already 115 degrees in Phoenix.
Actually, I used to like the Astrodome, you know, down in Houston. I mean, it'd be muggy and hot and
disgusting.
120. And you walk in there, it'd be 80 degrees. I love that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Yep.
It's funny. They have such a – I was talking to the guy that does the Houston Texans, the football team, their radio. He did the Miami Hurricanes when I was in school there. He was the play-by-play voice. So I've known him for a long time. And went to Houston a couple of years ago for a preseason game between the Dolphins and the Texans. And it was actually very nice out. Despite the fact that it was August, I said to him, I was like, hey, are they going to have the roof open? Because the roof opens at the football stadium in Houston. He goes, they never have it open. He goes, it's a dome culture. He's like, they grew up going to the Astrodome. He's like, they don't want the thing open, even when it's like, you know, 68 degrees outside. He's like, they keep it closed at all times in Houston. But you can be assured it'll be closed in Phoenix tonight for game two of this three-game series. Got to get going, man, for the Padres. Certainly got to get going.
Please.
Couple of Twitter questions, and then we'll get to the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. We begin with Friar Fever. He says, I agree with everything being said on Padres Social Hour. Is this a first? I imagine he was referring to the Scherzer-Tabata stuff.
Yeah. You know.
How about that, Friar Fever? He's right. He never agrees with anything we say. He's his own man.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you agreeing.
Jellyman wants to talk about strikeouts. Favorite topic of yours, I know.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I try to stay positive, and I'm trusting his math here. I don't know if this is accurate, but I know his overall point is accurate. 595 strikeouts in 70 games, that's 8.5 strikeouts per game. From an offensive standpoint for the Padres, that's nearly a third of the game outs by strikeout. What would Tony Gwynn say? Yeah, I mean, we all know.
How about making some contact?
Yeah, it is crazy. It's been a lot of strikeouts this year. It really has offensively, and it's a trend around all of baseball. It's not just the Padres.
But, you know, I think Jellyman's got to, you know, runners in scoring position. That's the key. You know, why don't you play with that stat for a while? You know, like you say, I mean, I'm saying, hey, if you get three for whatever the number is.
Yeah.
Remember one game we were 8-for-23 with runners in scoring position earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
There were.
But, you know, in that scenario, that's a lot of opportunities. But, I mean, even three. You know, 3-for-8, 3-for-10 with the runners in scoring position. Those are the three runs you need.
That
makes the difference. And you get one long ball, now you got four runs, and you win a lot of ball games that way.
Earlier in the season, I'm thinking the first few weeks of April, once they started to get rolling, it was like, okay, this is a totally different team from last year. I remember saying that and thinking it, and they were getting those hits, and they were stringing hits together, and it was a home run here and a double there. And they just sort of came back down to earth. And were they playing over their heads? Maybe a little bit, you know, at that time. But they haven't even gotten close to that again since. And a lot of non-contact outs.
Yeah.
A lot of non-contact outs.
Well, I think we both know there's a combination between pitching and the offense. I mean, a lot of things got to start improving to get above 500 and play competitively in this division.
Yeah.
And it's very apparent watching the last week.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, I want to get to the starting lineup in just a moment for today. But first, I want to talk about another starting lineup. The Yankees did their old-timers day today at Yankee Stadium.
Mm.
And we make fun of the Yankees all the time and the pretentiousness and all that. But it really is cool that they can field a couple of teams worth of these guys.
That's awesome.
You've got so many Hall of Famers and All-Stars and everything like that. So the two teams are the Bombers and the Clippers. So I saw somebody tweet the starting lineups for the two old-timers games teams at Yankee Stadium today. And something stood out to me, okay? So you've got a lot of guys playing in this game of varying ages, right? Johnny Damon is playing in the game, which, A, is a little bit weird. I know he won, you know.
Was Whitey Ford pitching?
Whitey was there. I don't know that he pitched.
Okay.
He didn't look awesome. He looked, you know, he's getting up there.
Getting up there.
Yeah, he really is. So I don't know that he was pitching. But anyway, Johnny Damon, putting aside the fact that he's really known as a Red Sox and he's playing in the Yankees old-timer game, but whatever, he's 41 years old. So just kind of scanning it here, I'm thinking he's probably one of the two or three youngest guys on this roster. Johnny Damon, you remember him, the caveman.
Sure.
He's in the starting lineup as the designated hitter for one of the teams. Like, how is Johnny Damon not playing the outfield?
I mean, he's the youngest guy and he's not playing the outfield?
Like, Willie Randolph is starting at second base. Like, all right. Willie Randolph is still playing defense in the old timers game. Johnny Damon is not playing defense. Bucky Dent is playing defense, and Johnny Damon is not.
Huh.
Like, what are they? What is going on with Johnny Damon that he can't?
I don't get that.
I mean, the outfield on that team is Ricky in left, Bernie in center, and Paul O'Neill in right. So I guess they're saying, hey, those three guys are more fun to watch. But I'm thinking, how is like the 40-year-old guy that just retired a DH? Put him, give him some help on the defense. Anyway,
hey.
Kind of an interesting thing with Yankees Old Timers Day. They're trying to fill it out. It's they're reaching on a couple of these guys. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to embarrass anybody.
Right.
But there's a couple guys there. I'm like, oh, really?
Well, you know, I think it's great the Yankees still have. You know,
Old Timers Day.
The Old Timers Day like this and the history like this to bring all those guys back in. That's got to be a great day in New York.
I guess. Like Homer Bush. Like, he's playing in this game?
Really?
I mean, they can't find another guy to, you know, play a little middle infield or something.
I would think they could find somebody.
You would think so.
Yeah.
But anyway, good for the Yankees. But Johnny Damon, go run around the outfield, man. Give a break to some of these, like, 80-year-old guys. That's crazy. All right. So, tonight's starting lineup as the Padres try and take game two against the Diamondbacks. It's, to me, a really interesting storyline to sort of watch how Pat Murphy is going to try different things now. I'm keeping an eye on Matt Kemp every day to see if he gets moved around in the batting order.
Right.
I'm keeping an eye on center field, certainly on the corner infield positions. How is Austin Hedges being used? All of that I find to be very interesting. So here's tonight's starting lineup. It is, of course, brought to you by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United. Fly the friendly skies. So Melvin Upton Jr. gets another start in center field and leading off. Derek Norris, second big league start at first base and his second this week. Upton and Kemp in their normal spots. Middlebrooks, Barmas at short. Alexi Amarista at second base here tonight. And Austin Hedges catching with Tyson Ross out on the mound. So there are several things here that are definitely different. Is there one that stands out to you, Randy Jones?
You know, not really. Maybe Amarista at second base. You know, that's the only thing. You know, and more of that utility role. Amarista played shortstop for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I like having Barmas in there, you know, with the left-hander there. I'm a little bit surprised. I think it's going to happen. It takes some of the heat off of Kemp. I'd move him down to 5 or 6.
Yeah.
I really would.
Yeah.
Maybe take a little bit of the heat off him, get him out of that 4 spot, you know.
With a guy like that, a superstar guy, is there a sensitivity there? Is that what we're seeing?
It's baseball. Get over it.
Yeah.
You know, hey, if you want to hit 4th, hit better.
Yeah.
You can't get the silver sombrero and one hop with guys, you know, 2nd and 3rd in the 9th inning.
Something to keep an eye on.
He's just struggling, and I'd put him down there, take a little bit of heat off of him until we get that swing going.
Yeah. The second base thing to me is the most interesting because a week and a half ago, this would have been a Jed Jerko start, I would imagine,
right,
against the left-hander Ray. So, okay, you go over your options at second base. Spangenberg, lefty. Solarte, much better from the left side as a switch hitter. Amarista, lefty, and he decides to go with Alexi. So you wonder if that's a defensive thing or if he's saying, hey, this is an opportunity to, you know, show you can do something against a left-handed pitcher. I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's an interesting decision.
It really is.
All right, so we'll do the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Let's update the standings. It's, as everybody knows by now, I'm sure, the couch versus blooper, and you represent the couch today.
I am the couch today.
Whoever is the co-host is the couch. You pick somebody, blooper picks somebody, and then we tally them up. So right now, it's pretty close. It's a two-point game. Blooper's got the lead over the couch, which is embarrassing for all of you guys. You know, you got an opportunity.
Blind squirrel finds an acorn every
there
once in a while.
There you go. Jeez. All right, so you've got the first pick today. So
I
you
do.
Take somebody from the starting 9 for the Padres who you think is going to have the biggest impact on tonight's game, and then Blooper will take somebody, and then whoever has a bigger impact gets the point. So who you got?
I have Justin Upton.
Okay.
Against the left-hander.
Okay, so you're just going Justin Upton against his old team, against the lefty.
I mean, that's just kind of even a moot point. His old team from way back, in my
You're
opinion.
You're not worried about
I'm
that?
I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
I just think he's due. He's been swinging the bat pretty well. And, you know, if this kid likes a fly ball pitcher, I think Mr. Upton might just take care of that for him.
Okay. I like that. So you're going with Justin Upton. Blooper, where are you going?
Derek Norris.
Okay.
I knew it. I knew he's going with Norris.
When he bats second, I pick him.
There's a method to his madness.
Yeah.
Who knew?
How about first base, though, instead of catching?
I picked him first base a few days when he played first base a few days ago, and I won.
Oh.
Oh, now we're getting the full scoop.
He's got a whole system
now
over there.
Now we have a scouting report.
Yeah.
Ah,
Inside Bloopers Head.
Scary.
All right, so there you go. Yeah, that's not a place you want to be. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. All right, so we're all set up here. I think we probably need to do the break. When we come back, more of your questions and comments. Remember, you can hop on the Twitter, hashtag PadresSH. You know what I think happened today? I think we doused so much water on this Scherzer talk, Tabata talk, that,
right.
that we scared everybody off. Because normally a topic like that, man, they're inundating us with you guys are idiots or I agree with you, whatever it is. But you provided such an airtight argument that all the people who want to be upset at José Tabata are intimidated to argue with you. That's what's happening.
Well, you know what? Hey, am I wrong, you guys out there? Let me know if I'm wrong. You know, if Matt Kemp's going to struggle a little bit, why not move him down to the 5 or 6 hole?
Yeah.
Let me know. Why don't you tweet us about that?
Yeah.
I think it might help him. I'm just trying to get this lineup to improve a little bit. Let's put somebody else in that 4 spot for a little bit and let them see if they can work it out.
Let's get some runs.
Yes.
A-Rod homered last night for hit number 3,000. You probably heard about that.
I did.
He homered tonight for hit number 3,001.
He's on a roll.
Yeah. He's liking life right now. We're done with A-Rod.
I know.
Extraordinary moments happen every night in baseball, but on one night, they all happen in one place. So don't miss the 86th All-Star Game. Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Pacific, Tuesday, July 14th on Fox. We will be on right before that day, 3
really?
To 4 p.m. To lead you right into the All-Star Game. So you come to us for your pre-All-Star coverage and then right into the game on Fox. It'll be a lot of fun, and that's that. More Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. The show, as always, is presented by United Airlines. Started the show talking about Max Scherzer and José Tabata. And the no-hitter that was nearly the perfect game, Scherzer said after the game about the hit-by-pitch to José Tabata, I didn't execute the pitch, I'm paraphrasing. He said it was a slider, and it backed up on him, and he didn't finish it. And so instead of being a slider low and away, it hung in,
backed right into him.
Backed right into him, got him on the elbow. And whether he dipped the elbow in or not, you think is irrelevant.
It's irrelevant.
I think there's some relevance to it, but...
I don't think he's that good that he can dip into a backup slider. It's not that easy to do.
No, that's exactly what I mean. C.J. Nikowski wrote about it as well on FoxSports.com. He goes, that's how you sort of react to a slider. That's
exactly.
You know, that's your sort of natural thing to do when you see a slider coming, and he probably did pick up the fact that it was a slider, and he didn't think it was coming in on him. He didn't think it was going to back up on him. Now, all of this being said, Nationals fans – out there right now, they want to murder this guy, right? They want to take his head off. And I'm exaggerating. But, like, there are going to be really nasty things said about José Tabata by Nationals fans over the course of probably the next, like, 7 years.
But you do realize this is probably the most exposure that Tabata's had in his entire career.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's turn it into it's a positive for Tabata.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Sure.
You guys are doing him a favor.
I will say this. And I get where the Nats fans are coming from, and I'm not mad at the Nats fans for being angry at him.
Oh, no.
They're the ones that can be upset. Like, if you're a fan of a random team, I don't think you should be upset at José Tabata. My opinion.
I mean,
but if you're a Nats fan, I get it. Because if this happened to the Padres, we'd be like apocalyptic right now. Like,
95% of the fans that were at this game have never seen a perfect game.
Right.
And they still haven't. They are bitter. They were on the verge of seeing a perfect game.
Yeah.
Now they haven't.
Right. And it's their guy. Even if they weren't at the game, even if you're watching at home or listening
on
the radio.
You're a fan.
So if you're a Nats fan, I give you a free pass on being really upset about this whole thing. I'm not expecting a Nationals fan to react, like, rationally to everything that took place today. Certainly not now. Maybe in a week. But I get it. So if you're a Nats fan, you can disregard everything we've said earlier in the show. But if you're a Padre fan or a Cardinal fan or whatever.
Get over it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I remember when I had the perfect game against Cincinnati after 5 innings. Now, you got to remember, Jess, mine's a 2-hour game.
Right, of course.
I mean, we're rolling through this thing. And I had a lot of people tell me that, you know, they're listening to it on the radio. And then when I got through the 5th inning with a perfect game, they were trying to get down to the ballpark. They wanted to see it, you know. and they're streaking around just hauling down there, you know, and I can be in the seventh before they can even park their car, you know, at the Murph.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I get it.
Well, you didn't have to hurry.
All right. We got a couple of tweets coming in, mostly about Matt Kemp. You had suggested
right.
in the previous segment, might be time to consider moving Matt Kemp out of the four spot. You're certainly not the first person to say it, nor are you
that.
The first person to think it. But it's a fair conversation to have, I think, at this point, based on how he's going right now. And it appears an entire family is contributing to this conversation. I got two tweets here about Matt Kemp, both from people with the same last name. Hmm. So Michelle and Steve, I don't know. Is this a father-daughter or husband-wife or brother-sister kind of situation?
If you're sitting next to each other or if you're
I would imagine
houses.
That they're sitting next to each other. But you're right. No, who knows? Maybe they're both watching the show independently.
That's right.
Blooper, who's first, Michelle or Steve? Michelle is first, and she says you can't keep Kemp in the four spot just to keep up his ego. If he's not hitting, he needs to be moved down. And then brother or husband or whatever, Steve says, I agree, move Kemp down to six spot, less pressure on him to produce there. I don't know that there's even less. I think Matt Kemp's going to put a ton of pressure on himself regardless. For me, though, the idea is at number four, you're going to have more of these big opportunities, theoretically,
because
those top guys are getting on base, and you want somebody there who's been producing.
Well, if you think he's getting close to getting out, then, you know, then maybe flip-flop him. You know, Upton's been swinging the bat really well. Put him in the four spot. Put Kemp before him. He's going to see more fastballs.
Yeah.
If he's swinging the bat better. A lot of different ways of doing this, but I think right now just take the heat off. I mean, I like the idea of maybe putting him down in that sixth spot. You know, it's like when you see Yonder Alonso prototypically doesn't have a lot of success when he hits fourth.
Right.
Because I think he gets caught up in hitting fourth. I am the cleanup guy. I'm supposed to drive in runs, and he kind of maybe changes his approach.
So you think there is a psychology to it?
I think there is.
All right. Very interesting. Well, hey, you're the expert.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you are. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for both pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Running out of time on Padres Social Hour, but if you're watching on Fox Sports San Diego, Mike Pomerantz is coming up with Padres Live, the pregame show. They'll continue to get you ready for Tyson Ross and Robbie Ray, and we'll get to hear their thoughts, maybe, on Max Scherzer
and
Jose Tabata. You
know who Pomerantz is with?
I don't know. That's why I just said Mike Pomerantz.
I was going to bust you.
Thank you for calling me out. Let's say Mark Sweeney. Let's guess Mark Sweeney.
There you go. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted you to say.
Maybe someone will let us know in the next couple of minutes if
Sweendog09
is going to be there with Pomerantz. Take a break, come back. More Padres Social Hour right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
All right, Blooper's telling us we don't have much time.
Talk fast.
I want you to marinate on this, and then when we come back, you give me your reaction to it. The Padres have three players this season with 35 or more RBIs, Upton, Norris, and Kemp. The only team in the National League that has three guys with 35 or more RBIs. Also, the Padres have scored 291 runs so far this season, the third most in the National League. So I want you to let me know how they can have all those runs scored and have those kind of run producers in the middle of their order, but still be where they are wins and
really
losses
obvious.
Wise. All right,
really
you'll give us the answer when we come back. Meanwhile, make sure to dress in your best red, white, and blue for the America-themed Sunday Funday next Sunday at Petco Park. Every fan who purchases a $25 Sunday Funday package receives America-themed koozie and a drink ticket. Get your tickets today at Padres.com/Sunday Funday. Padres.com/Sunday Funday. Oh, boy.
Easy
all right.
For you to say.
We'll wrap it up after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Hey, earlier we had Steve and Michelle tweeting at us, and I said maybe, I don't know if they're husband, wife, whatever it is, father-daughter watching Padres Social
awesome,
Hour.
Awesome, I like it.
Hey, Steve, Michelle, appreciate you hanging out with us on this Saturday. Hope you guys are having a great weekend. All right, I said Padres third in the National League in runs scored, only team in the National League that has three guys with 35 or more runs batted in. So why is the record what it is? You said it's a simple answer.
It's pitching.
Oh.
The run differential.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe we got three guys with 35 RBIs, but it leads me to believe if you're four or five games under 500, you know, your pitching's not getting it done.
And when the pitching has gotten it done, the offense has. It's been one of those years.
Ham and eggs, I understand that. But overall, you know, You know me.
You're putting it on the pitchers.
I'm putting it on the pitchers. I know that if they step up and they start slamming the door on some people, we're going to be fine.
Hey, Kyle on Twitter says that stat says more about the pitching staff than the bats.
That's right.
That's it.
Got it.
So you're putting it on the pitchers.
Good call.
Hey, Kyle, Randy, in agreement. That sounds like a lovely way to end this Saturday night show. We'll be back tomorrow at 11:30 in the morning for the Sunday show. But, of course, plenty more to come, including the game at 7:10 tonight. Hope everybody enjoys it. Tyson Ross will be out on the hill for the Padres. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.